Wow, Grace City, I don't know about you, but that line in the song, it's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. That means something to me in these times. We live in a time when breath and lungs is at risk, right? It's a scary time. It's a scary time. I have asthma, and I had a nightmare a couple weeks ago about, it woke me up in the middle of the night, suffocating. And it's because of all the emotional vibe in the air that says, it's a scary time. So you are not alone if you're experiencing some of that. Well, here we are at Palm Sunday, and it's my first sermon back from sabbatical. So bear with me, I am unpracticed. But Palm Sunday, what a great time to be together. I'm so glad we can be together online. And we're gonna celebrate the Lord's Supper. You see the elements here on my table. By the way, welcome to the Bingham table. You are so welcome here. This is where all the action happens in my house through the years as the kids grew up around this table, those of you who know my kids. So. We're gonna celebrate the Lord's Supper together. We have the elements. Make sure you have your elements if you want to partake with this, ready to go. And we'll do that in a few minutes. You know, since Wednesday, I've had a chance to be with a dozen or more of you online, individuals, couples, families. And there is, by the way, you look lovely, Grace City. You really do. It's so good to see you after being away. I want to thank, by the way, before I even get started, the medical folks who are out there every day. I want to thank the first responders. I want to thank teachers who are learning how to navigate their classrooms and teach online after years of teaching in person. I want to thank all of you who are trying to not only hold it down at home and really do a good job with your home and your relationships there, or if you're living by yourself, figuring out how to do that with so many more hours inside the walls. But all that you're doing, you are becoming more and more, as this season goes on, the voice of God in a world that desperately needs it. And I want to preach today from that title, Resurrection. We're starting a resurrection series for the next several weeks in the Gospel of Luke. I want to preach from the title today, Resurrection, Finding Your Voice. And it's a great representation of what goes on in that very first Palm Sunday. But I sense, as I've talked to so many of you, and I feel it myself, none of us are alone in this, that the emotional climate around all of our homes and our lives and what we live hour to hour, there's a difficult vibe in the air. Amen. It's tough to catch our breath sometimes. It's tough to catch our emotional breath. I mean, raise your hand if you feel anxious, if you feel disoriented, if you feel angry at times, if you feel like maybe you're actually in the stages of grief. And it's not grief like we normally think of it, because it comes all at once. It's not coming in stages. It's 1 minute angry, 1 minute anxious, 1 minute sad, 1 minute the next with a malaise, and I don't know how to spend my day. I sense this grief along with you. Well, as we come toward the Lord's Supper, which is so important to remember Christ's sacrifice in the most difficult of times that we're in now, as we come toward that, I was thinking about someone who asked me the other day, is everything going to be okay? And I thought a lot about it. And so I want to have that question kind of frame the sermon today. If by that question you mean, will everything go back to the way it was, then clearly the answer is no. But you know what? That's always the answer to that question. Even in my lifetime, dozens of things have happened that have changed the world forever. Some of them have been good. New contact lenses have been invented that allow my very complex vision problems. They allow me to see far more clearly now than I ever did before. Some things are neutral and sort of up for grabs, whether they're good or bad. You know, things like smartphones can be really cool, and all that technology, they can also really cause some rifts and some lack of relationship and other things, as you know. Some things are clearly have produced difficult things for us. You know, my world, your world was never the same after 9/11. Everything kind of changed. So the answer to will everything be okay? No, if your frame of reference is will everything look the way it was. I want to look at that first Palm Sunday, and then I'll come back to that question. Is everything going to be okay? On the first Palm Sunday, the disciples, if you flip to chapter 18 of Luke, you'll see that the disciples had been told by Jesus days or perhaps a week or two before that Palm Sunday, he had told them for the third time that he was going to be delivered over, that he was going to be tortured, that he was going to be killed, and that on the third day he'd rise from the dead. And the scripture in chapter 18 says they didn't fully understand what was going on there. But I do know this, it would have created an incredibly anxious emotional climate for the disciples as they approached Jerusalem and the events of Holy Week. They didn't fully understand, kind of like you and me don't fully understand what's going on right now, right? It's hard to understand, but the anxiety in the air had to be thick. So it's an enormously anxious bunch that arrive in Luke chapter 19 at verse 28. And nothing will be the same for the disciples after the events of this week or for the rest of Holy Week. And life won't be the same for us on our planet in the wake of our current experience. It won't. Some of it will continue to be difficult. Some of it will be neutral and we're not sure what to do with it. Some of it, though, because we are followers of Christ and He is the great Redeemer. Redemption simply means taking really difficult things and making something great out of it. This is God's best job description in our lives. So some of it will be very good, especially as followers of Christ find their voice. So let's look at chapter 19, verses 28 to 44. Keep that open in front of you. And listen, no worries if you don't have it. Just listen, I'll tell you this story. It's a parable for our times. Here's the scene. Jesus has told his disciples, go find a colt, bring it back to me. And he gets on it and he begins to ride into Jerusalem. This is a fulfillment of several Old Testament prophecies in Daniel and Zechariah chapter 9. The praise, even in this anxious time, the praise rises as they see Jesus riding into Jerusalem. The praise comes up, and that's the voice of his followers. The Pharisees, no surprise here, say to Jesus, tell your disciples to be quiet. Shut them up. And Jesus says, listen, if they are quiet, look at verse 40, if they are quiet, then the rocks themselves are going to cry out. Now, we like to think of the rocks as kind of an ode to, you know, the heavens will declare the glory of God. We write songs about this verse and we kind of let it go and make, I think something much deeper is going on that really is a parable for our time today. Because rocks in scripture really, really appear in three ways. They appear as a memorial, stacked up to memorialize something. They appear as a lament. They are torn down. As a matter of fact, the walls of Jesus, in the very next verse, comes into sight of Jerusalem, weeps over Jerusalem the way some of you and me weep over Baltimore. And he says, you will be dismantled stone by stone if only you knew the message of God. And so stones are used as a lament and they're torn down in lament. And then the third way stones are used in scripture, and many of you know this, they're used by evil people and thrown at the people of God to kill them. So stones are not particularly the most articulate voice for praise of Jesus. So he says, if my people are quiet, then the stones are going to cry out. And I want to tell you today, that's not the voice we need today. We don't need to hear from the rocks and the stones. What the world needs from us is to hear the voice of the people of God. Well, let's look at what that voice ought to be. Because just as rocks are not very eloquent and stones are not meant for crying out, the disciples of Jesus, the followers of Christ, you and me, and our community around Baltimore and around the world, we're not meant for silence. So as Jesus enters Jerusalem, he wants the world to know that even with all the anxiety in the air, with death at his door 5 days from now, he wants us to know that the overwhelming voice of the people of God needs to point toward him and towards his Father. That's our job description in anxious times. This is our voice today, Grace City. And thank you. Thank you for being that voice as you navigate these times and figure out what it is our responsibility. What is our job description as the followers of Christ in this day? What Jesus wanted then and now was for us to speak his praise, for us to speak his gospel truth. And if we don't do it, here's the warning. The rocks, he says the rocks will do it for us. That's not what he wanted, and that's not what we want today. Because the parable for me is that if we don't speak the truths of God today in this time of crisis, then the world will speak for us. They will examine what's going on for us. And that voice, without pointing to God, that voice will tend to divide rather than unite. That voice will tend to oppress rather than free. That voice will tend to blind and subvert, and that voice will leave us unsatisfied. It's the voice of Jesus that we need. These are the truths God desires to be uttered, Grace City, in these times. I think the phrase Jesus prays early in his ministry, on earth as it is in heaven, needs to be explained, and it's only the church that can explain it. Because listen, you know this world will have trouble. Jesus told us that, but you also know he's overcome the world. You know about the cross to come 5 days from now, but because of the cross and the tragedy of the cross, you know about his salvation. And you know about the empty tomb. And for the reason of the empty tomb, you can give voice to hope in a world that today is desperate for the hope. So that's why we praise, and that's why we bring gospel truth. If you're ever in doubt, what is my voice supposed to say beyond praise, beyond singing, beyond that? Go back 2 months to what Corey Barnes, and by the way, he's preached some great sermons on my sabbatical. He's just blessed me. Go back to the one in January on Luke chapter 4, where Jesus gives his job description, where he gives voice to what our job description is in this kind of time. Freedom for the prisoners, freedom from oppression, sight to the blind, justice for the oppressed, justice for the poor. This is our voice, Grace City. It's not a mystery. It's out there for us. This is our voice in the midst of the trouble we have in this season. And it begs, the trouble we have in this season begs for the followers of Christ to lift up Jesus Christ and make his word happen here on earth. So back to that question. Somebody asked me if things were going to be okay. And if by that we mean, will it look the way it always looked? Absolutely not. But if we ask, will everything be okay? If we mean, is God bigger than our mountains? Is he stronger than our pain? Is he deeper and more profound than our valleys? Does he have us in the palm of his hand? Then the answer is yes, everything's going to be okay because God is faithful. This is our Palm Sunday, Grace City. Trouble lurks on the earth, and we understand that God himself is pleased to live and work through you and through me. This is surely what Jesus meant when he said to us, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. So be light from your homes. Be salt from your homes. Let's sing of his healing now, and we'll come back and we will share the elements. It's so important to remember the sacrifice that Jesus made in this Holy Week, coming to us on Good Friday. It's so important to remember. We're going to celebrate in just a few minutes, but let's go sing of his healing now.